You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Suzanne Giesemann. Suzanne Giesemann is a former Navy commander and commanding officer with a master's degree in national security affairs. She served as special assistant to the Chief of Naval Operations and as aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In her career, she flew on Air Force One with the President, visited with kings and queens, and was catapulted off the deck of an aircraft carrier. But nothing prepared her for the newest leg of her journey as a psychic medium. Suzanne is the author of 8 books, including Love Beyond Words, 365 Days of Inspiration from Spirit, and her latest, Messages of Hope, the metaphysical memoir of a most unexpected medium. Suzanne gives workshops around the country, as well as private readings nationally and internationally. You can find her online at suzannegiesemann.com. That's SuzanneGiesemann.com. She is a featured presenter at the Afterlife Awareness Conference in Virginia Beach from Friday, March 9th to Sunday, March 11th, 2012, which is presented in cooperation with Edgar Cayce's ARE. For details, visit afterlifeconference.com. She will also offer a free lecture at the ARE on Thursday, March 8th, from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. For details, visit edgarcayce.org. Thanks for coming on the show today.
It's my pleasure.
Now, your book, Messages of Hope, what is it about?
Well, it's my story of the transition that I've made from going from being a Navy commander and aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to my current line of work as an author and speaker about spirituality who backs up what she talks about by giving mediumistic readings.
Wow.
It's a transition that I never expected to make, and so it tells the story of how I made that rather drastic shift.
Oh, yes. That's a question I think people might think of first when they see your biography. So then, what inspired you to write Messages of Hope?
Well, it's my stepdaughter, Susan, who was tragically killed 5 years ago. She was 27 years old. She was 6 months pregnant and was struck by lightning. And I had had an interest in the afterlife for quite some years. In fact, I had always been drawn to the Association for Research in Enlightenment and Edgar Cayce's work without knowing why I had such a strong interest in it. And when Susan died, suddenly I needed answers. So I went searching for those answers by visiting a couple of mediums.
What are the main messages of the story?
Oh, well, yes, it's called Messages of Hope because these readings with mediums gave me such hope, convincing me that there is life after what we call death, that death is just a transition, that our loved ones are still around us even when they cross over, and that we can communicate with them, that there's nothing woo-woo about this at all, that it's backed up by science, and that life is eternal. They're just the most comforting messages that I can think of, and it has certainly changed my life and now allowing me to change other people's lives by sharing these messages.
In the book, do you provide examples or is it a compilation of evidence?
Oh, there's so much evidence in the book, and the reason why is because I was the biggest skeptic there was. My mentor, a wonderful medium named Janet Nohavik, even told me I was the worst skeptic she knew. And I think that's a good thing, to question mediums and psychics and people who say they're tapping into something beyond this reality, because people should be able to back that up with evidence. And so I show this transition that took me from great skeptic through all of my doubts and fears and worries to being completely convinced with total conviction that this is not the only reality that there is.
Well, was there some main occurrence or just some point in which you switched from skeptic to a believer, or was it a slow transition?
Well, it was that initial reading that I had when a medium who knew nothing about me brought through my stepdaughter with incredible evidence that is detailed in the book that left even my destroyer captain husband convinced that Susan was still around. I never expected that I could do the work of a medium as well, and that's what took convincing for me, to convince me I was actually tapping into actual minds, living intelligence on the other side in another dimension. It's one thing to hear it from somebody else. It's another thing to tap into it yourself.
Well, who is your target audience?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. It's people who have lost a loved one and who want so much to believe that they're still around. Some people may say, well, they're certainly gullible. They want to believe, and they'll believe anything. And to that I say, look at the evidence. This is as close to proof as you can get when a medium who knows nothing about their client can sit and tell them intimate details about their loved ones, that they're still around, they still exist, and they hear us talking to them. So that's my audience, because the book is called Messages of Hope. It gives them hope. But it's also targeted at those who want to know more about the spirit world, if you want to call it that, or more about other dimensions of reality.
So this might be a book that someone could read if they're grieving.
Oh, absolutely. It's the perfect book for someone who's grieving, because it shows them that we grieve for the loss we've had in the physical world, but our loved ones are fine. They're better than they ever were when here in physical body, and we will see them again. What more would you want to know when you're missing someone so much?
Oh, yes. Well, what do your readers have to say about the book?
I'm very happy that they tell me they can't put it down. I've had a lot of people that have gone to work the next day yawning because they stayed up into the wee hours of the night reading it, and that's always a wonderful compliment to a writer. This is my eighth book, and they tell me that my books are full of very honest emotion, and I know that's how people relate when they read a story, and so I tell it like it is in the book, and people tell me that you better have a box of Kleenex ready when you read this book.
Well, where can people purchase the book?
Well, it's available. You can get it in just about any bookstore. If they don't have it, they can order it. It's available online through onemindbooks.com. That's the publisher, or through Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Was that experience with the medium how you found out that you could communicate with the spirit world?
Well, as I said, I had always had an interest in the afterlife, and I had read plenty of books about mediums, but until my stepdaughter was killed, I never had reason to search one out. I've read several very credible books about mediumship and went looking for one who I knew I could trust. I knew I had to get my husband in there with me, and if I'm a skeptic, he's even worse than I am. So I chose one that I had read about in a very credible book named Anne Gaiman, and she's one of the top psychic mediums in the country. It's Anne Gaiman that I ended up writing my book published by Hay House about. That book is called The Priest and the Medium. And after writing Anne's book, I wrote another medium's biography, my mentor, Janet Nohavik, and it was in writing that book that I discovered that I could tap into the spirit world as well.
So then, you're a medium yourself.
That's the whole focus of my story, Messages of Hope, that I went from simply writing about mediumship after a full career in the Navy as a commander working at the top levels of the U.S. military. Here I write this book about mediumship, only to discover that I am a medium. I had no idea this transition would take place, but never wanted to do anything halfway. Once I found out that I could make this connection, I actually traveled to England to study with some of the best mediums in the world. And to date, I've given over 300 one-on-one readings with just phenomenal evidence that just leaves me in awe about
Wow.
the reality that's out there.
You're more than just a medium, isn't that right?
That's true. I also have started doing what those who have studied Edgar Cayce would understand as perhaps trance mediumship or channeling. Edgar Cayce used to go into a what some would know as a hypnotic state, a deep trance state. I have been doing that for groups as well, and bringing through information from another dimension of reality that leaves people know that I'm definitely tapping into something greater than ourselves.
So then you're doing readings yourself where you are not consciously aware of it?
Those I don't call readings. It's passing along information that's coming through. My readings are, that's the mediumship aspects of my work, where I sit one-on-one with people and link to their loved ones on the other side. Every morning in meditation, I bring through wisdom from the other side that's published on a daily blog.
We'll be right back with more with Suzanne Giesman on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Suzanne Giesman.
I bring through wisdom from the other side that's published on a daily blog, and that is called Sanaya Says. Sanaya is the consciousness that I channel each morning, S-A-N-A-Y-A, Sanaya Says. And we have people all over the world that read the information that comes through on a daily basis, because it's quite uplifting. And I hope you understand, Art, what a switch this is for me to even talk about these things, considering my Navy military background. But
yes.
People's reaction to this work, the information that comes through, is touching people in ways that I can't deny what a difference it's making in people's lives. And so, in spite of the fact that I may not always be comfortable in this new line of work, it's helping people. It's a way of serving. And so I keep at it.
Well, yes, you mentioned you're a former Navy commander. As a former Navy commander and commanding officer, how do you feel about your new role?
You know, it's still difficult for me to share this with people, because I know that it's not mainstream work. But again, when I see the way it changes people's lives, I am totally dedicated to this new mission. If there's anything that I know about from my Navy career, it's just having a sense of duty and a sense of mission. And I have learned from what I've gained from tapping into the other side that this life is all about service to each other. It's all about bringing more love into our world. And this new line of work allows me to do that in a way that is beautiful beyond words. So I keep at it even when it makes me a bit uncomfortable.
Well, what would your former military colleagues say about the work you do now?
It's funny you should ask that, because I shared that with a former Army soldier who was the senior enlisted aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff when I was the senior officer aide to the chairman. And I shared with him that I now sit with people and communicate with their loved ones in spirit. And his jaw dropped, as you can imagine. And I looked at him and I said, "Look, you know me. You know my background. You know who I am." And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I do know you." And that's exactly why right now I'm not saying, "Waiter, check, please." We were in a restaurant at the time, and he's a busy guy. He's now the CEO of his own company, and he reached over and turned off his telephone, set down his fork, and asked to hear more about my work. Because, like I said, it's that background, that military background, that people know that I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't take it very seriously.
I used to be in the Army. I was a chaplain assistant, but I worked, my last duty station was Walter Reed, and I worked in Memorial Chapel, and that place was haunted.
And oh, really?
Yes. Some people believed it, though. The other sergeants that were working there believed it, but then the chaplain, he dismissed it. Any noises he heard or, you know, anything, he just didn't, give it any credence, whereas another chaplain assistant and another sergeant who were there saw a figure walking through the sanctuary when they were the only ones there. And I heard a chair moving on the stone floor. And, I mean, it was quite interesting. But it was interesting to see that so many people, at least in that chapel, believed in it, even though you had one, you know, chaplain that didn't. So I guess you never know in the military. I guess you have such a cross section. You don't know how someone is going to respond.
Right. And as I tell people, it's not something that I would have sat around talking with my military colleagues about when I had this interest in the afterlife. It was just not a topic of discussion. But you mentioned the word believed in, and it's one thing to believe in something. It's another thing to be convinced of it because you've had that experience. It's those people you talked about that heard the scraping of the chair, that saw the figure. Once you have an experience like that, it's no longer belief. It's a knowing. And that's what I have now, this total knowing that this is not just something to believe in. It's very, very real. And I'm happy that I have this very linear, logical, rational background that allows people to know this is real, because we all want very much to know that, to know that our loved ones are still around.
Is your work similar to Edgar Casey's work?
Parts of it are, like I said, how Edgar Casey used to give the readings to people and bring through advice about how they could heal themselves, and he certainly did wonderful work of prophecy. I have not delved too much into the psychic side of things, although that ability seems to be coming out more and more in me. What's been happening with me lately is when I tap into loved ones on the other side, they are telling my clients through me things about my clients' health and concerns that they should look into, and the accuracy is stunning. To sit with someone and tell them, you have a heart arrhythmia and your blood pressure is very low, and your mother on the other side would like you to check on that because it's a concern for her. And then my client confirms this and says, yes, I do have an arrhythmia. My blood pressure is low, and I was thinking of going to the doctor. That's a similarity with Edgar Casey in some ways.
Could you tell me about your spirit poetry?
Oh, gosh. That's been a wonderful way that the spirit world has used to convince me that they're real. About 2 years ago, I would sit in meditation, and I would hear these beautiful phrases and beautiful advice, and my mentor told me I should write these words down that I heard in meditation. And I would write it down, but I didn't believe that it was coming from a source outside myself. The Navy officer in me said, well, I'm just making this up. So one morning in meditation, I heard a couple of phrases. I wrote them down with my eyes closed, but suddenly I realized, as I wrote line after line after line, that the words I was writing down were rhyming. And the lines kept coming for probably about 5 minutes. I filled 3 pages of paper with my eyes closed, and when I opened them, I just burst into tears because I knew that I had been given a poem. When I read the words that had come through, and I shared it with my husband, remember, now he's even more linear than I am, we both were crying because it was an incredible poem that made perfect sense with the words, each line rhyming, something that I never could have come up with in 5 minutes on my own, especially since I had never written poetry. And that, to me, was this beautiful sign from the spirit world that I'm dealing with intelligence here, and they used a very, very brilliant way of showing me they're real. And since after that day, I received a poem during meditation every day for over a year, and those 369 poems are published on a blog that anybody can read. It's called messagesofhopepoems.org. And Art, if I could share with you the beautiful part about the poems,
oh, yes,
is that all of those poems dealt with the topic of love, of oneness, of how to develop our own spirituality, of why we're here on this earth. And any time that I tried to inject my own thoughts as the poems were coming through me, the flow would stop, showing to me this was not coming from me. It was coming from higher intelligence. And the poems have an energy of their own, and the people that have read the poems say they really speak to them, just as now in meditation I receive words in prose from the Sanaya on SanayaSays.com, because after a year of poetry, Art, we discovered that there are only so many words in the English language that rhyme, and by that time I truly believed that these words were not my own, so the spirit switched to prose, and it continues to this day.
I was wondering about the style of the poems. Do they seem to be written by one source or different spirits?
Oh, it was very different. At first, the rhyming scheme would change, the rhythm would change, and it would just have a different tone. If anybody that goes to messagesofhopepoems.org will see that they do change. They're not award-winning poems by any means, but it's the messages that they contain and the fact that they came to me in just minutes with incredible flow that I could never have written myself, that over and over repeatedly showed me we can all access this source of wisdom that exists in another dimension, the same dimension that Edgar Cayce tapped into through so many of his readings.
I understand you had a chance to give a reading for Wayne Dyer.
Oh, gosh. That's pretty recent. It was part of my vision to connect with Wayne Dyer, who has always been a favorite author of mine. One of my books, The Priest and the Medium, was published through Hay House, and Wayne Dyer is one of Hay House's major authors. He was always an inspiration to me, so I made it part of my vision to get to know him on a first-name basis. And as you're probably familiar with the law of attraction, with the spirit world on my side, Wayne Dyer ended up coming to my house and sat with me for one of my one-on-one readings. And he gave me a wonderful endorsement for my work and for my book. He said that he's had sessions with me, and it was just very rewarding to me to have Wayne Dyer say that Suzanne is coming from a God-inspired place, so pay attention. It's, again, confirmation that the work I'm doing is touching people at a spiritual level and making a difference in their lives.
I understand you're going to be speaking at the ARE headquarters on March 8th. What will you be speaking about?
Well, because Edgar Cayce would give his readings while in a deeply altered state of consciousness, I'm going to be talking about what some people would know as trance mediumship. I'm going to be talking about what it's like to actually do that kind of work and tell about some of the incredible evidence that has come through when I do that work. So I've given that talk before around the country, and happily people find it fascinating and interesting. Again, because of my background, I'm not the kind of person that people would expect to be talking about a topic such as trance mediumship, and I really look forward to giving that at a place like the ARE.
We'll be right back with more with Suzanne Giesman on Reflections. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Suzanne Giesman.
And you'll also be speaking at the Afterlife Conference from March 9th to the 11th in Virginia Beach.
Yes, what an honor that's going to be on that agenda with so many big names in this business. It's going to be a fantastic conference for anybody who has interest in life after death, and especially for my target audience, the target of my book, Messages of Hope, people who are grieving and want to know more about other dimensions of reality.
Could you tell us about some of your most interesting readings?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's so many now, and it just continues. The more I give the readings, the more evidence that I have. But the ones that really blew me away was a woman sat across from me, and I immediately saw, just sitting at her, black spots floating in front of her chest and throat, and I thought, oh my goodness, this woman is sick. And I didn't think that I should tell her what I thought. I thought that she had cancer, but I didn't trust enough in my abilities to share that with her. I didn't want to frighten her. And I heard a voice in my head say, tell her, you need to tell her this. And I thought, oh, how can I do that? But it was urgent. It was insisted that I should tell her. So I looked at her and I said, you know, I need to tell you that I'm seeing black spots in front of you. I didn't want to use the cancer word. And she looked back at me without blinking and said, "Oh, yes, it's metastasized." And I said, "My goodness, so you know you have cancer." And she said, "Yes, I do. What else can you tell me about it?" And listening to what I was tapping into, the information I tapped into, I was able to give her some advice about that that was helpful to her. Just recently gave a reading to a woman who lost her son a year ago, right around Christmas time. And you know that's always a difficult time for people who have lost loved ones. And these are my favorite kinds of readings to give because we lost a child as well, and I know how comforting it is to give them evidence. And, oh, my goodness, I think we were set up by this woman's son on the other side because he came through so clearly. I sensed his presence immediately. I knew nothing about the woman's son but was able to tell her how he passed, how old he was, some of his favorite things, his favorite activities, things going on in his mother and father's life right now, his favorite things. It was truly an amazing reading, and the woman said that she felt lighter than she had in the entire year since he passed. And it, like I said, it's those kind of readings that change people's lives, that give them hope again, that just keeps me coming back and doing this work over and over again because it's life-changing things.
Well, how do you sense spirits? Do you see them or hear them?
It's my goal to see them with my eyes open, but I don't, Art. What I do is when I ask them to step close and blend their energy with mine, for that's what I believe that we are in spirit. We're spirit beings now. We're energy bodies temporarily living in a human body. So those on the other side may not have a human body, but they're still that energy body that when it blends with mine, I get immediately lightheaded, and I can tell that there is someone here now near with me that's ready to communicate. And so in my mind, I ask them questions. Tell me how you passed. Tell me how old you were. What do you want your loved one to know? And I hear the answers just as if they're my own thoughts or as if they're speaking to me. And then I see images in my mind's eye with my eyes closed. Just yesterday, I had a client and I described to her her husband who had passed to the other side. He showed me a picnic basket and a blanket spread out, and so I described to her this special picnic they had shared, and he showed me that it was along the water and other details that I could see in my mind's eye, and she knew exactly what I was talking about, identified the place along the water. And so again, I hear their thoughts. I see visions that they want me to remind them of memories that are important. And then I feel their personality as if it's my own. The blending of our energies is so close that I could tell the person exactly what they were like when they were here in physical form. It's truly an amazing process. Unfortunately, I don't see the people on the other side, but they will be able to tell me how tall they were in feet and inches and what kind of hair they had, that kind of thing. So to me, it's fascinating, the kind of information they give to me to leave no doubt in their loved ones' minds that they're still around.
Well, do you have issues once the loved one has left your office of the spirits hanging around?
None whatsoever. This is intelligence we're dealing with on the other side, and I have asked them to simply be with me when I need them, and then they disappear, and literally I forget what happens in readings. I would have to write down the evidence. The ones I just shared with you, I write down what I call the wows, the really evidential readings that wow me and wow my clients, and that's why I'm able to remember those. But it's as if my brain couldn't handle all of this evidence that comes through. And so I may see somebody a week later and they'll say, "Remember when you told me this or that?" And I don't remember it at all, which is actually a good thing because it's some pretty emotional things that we deal with.
Hmm. And what about negative spirits? Do you have to beware of them?
You know, Art, I actually don't believe in that. I do believe in the law of attraction, and I believe that it is a loving world that we inhabit. The spirit world is all loving, and that nothing can harm me, and that has been my experience. So I do this with no fear whatsoever.
Well, can anyone become a medium? Is that something that is part of our nature.
Speaking from someone who never expected to be doing this work, I truly believe that anybody can do it, but it certainly takes a lot of training and discipline and work if you were not born knowing you had this ability. I never had any idea I would be doing this until just 3 years ago, and it's now, as I said, because it's become my mission, I spend most of my waking hours practicing, studying, and learning how to improve my attunement with the other side. My advice to anybody listening who wants to improve their ability to tap into the other side is meditate, 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 because that is when you train your mind to be quiet, to be still, and to be able to hear and receive these subtle messages that come from the spirit world.
Well, what do you think about using devices like dowsing rods or crystals or Ouija boards to communicate with the other side?
I think that those are tools that can help people, but they're not necessary once you've honed your own attunement to the level that you don't need them anymore. I don't use them because I believe that we're dealing with higher intelligence, and through focus and belief and desire and intention, we can tap into this just with our own consciousness, because that's what we're dealing with, is consciousness. And the spiritual aspects of this have been so beautiful. It's truly shown me that there really is just one mind. It's one great consciousness, and that's what I'm tapping into.
I know you've changed from being a skeptic. Do you think that's reflected in society? Is society changing and becoming more open about this?
Oh, absolutely. I think years back, people would have given me a much different reaction than they do these days. I have had very, very little negative reaction to my work. It's entirely positive and rewarding. People are open to this, and more people are having their own experiences of tapping into other dimensions. I believe that's just part of the consciousness of our Earth and our world speeding up as it is, and it's only going to get better and better. Because this is all backed up with quantum physics and recent discoveries in energy. And that's what I'll be talking about at the Afterlife Conference, Art, where science and spirituality meet is the topic of my talk on Friday. And this is coming from somebody who was a liberal arts major that never studied science, but I have found that this is the answer to how I'm able to tap into this other dimension and why I'm able to do the work I'm doing. I had to understand, how is this possible? And I show very clearly in my presentation that this is not woo-woo stuff. It's not weird or paranormal at all. It's perfectly normal, and it's backed up by science.
Oh, yes. It's. There's a scientific explanation. It's just a field which hasn't had a lot of, I guess, empirical experimentation done, just like any field that's
right.
New.
That's right.
So it's interesting. Something that seems supernatural at first becomes a part of nature, and it becomes more accepted later. But there's always a lot of people who are skeptical just because they don't have the evidence, the direct evidence right now.
Right, and that's why I'm so much about bringing through evidence. I will give messages from loved ones that when they want to give apologies, talk about regrets or how much they loved them, but there's no evidence in that kind of message. Anybody could make that up, and I want people to know when I give them a message like that, it's because I'm backing it up with evidence that their loved ones are truly here. Now, scientists might scoff at this work because it's not replicable. Their experiments, they want to be able to repeat the results over and over.
We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Suzanne Giesemann.
The closest thing I've come to replicating the evidence is when I had a client came to me and I brought through her mother and father with great evidence. They had passed to the other side. Without my knowing it, this woman sent her sister to me. I had no idea I was sitting with this client's sister 1 month later. I brought through this new client's mother and father with the same type of evidence. The father was a banker. The mother did this and that. there was enough similarities that it was very clear I was tapping into the same couple. And I thought, gosh, how many bankers are there on the other side? Only after the reading did I find out that I had already brought through these two spirits. Well, believe it or not, a month later, these sisters sent me yet another sister without telling me. And sure enough, the same mother and father showed up. New pieces of evidence and some of the same old evidence. And I had no idea till the reading was over that they had hoodwinked me again. But to me, it was a gift that they had tried to trick me like this, because the spirits provided the evidence that they were very much present. So a great experiment with wonderful results that left none of us with any doubt that her parents had played a big role in convincing us.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was wondering.
That's one of the stories that's in my book, Messages of Hope. So it's just full of the evidence that shows how I moved from skeptic to believer, and it helps those who want to be a believer move from skeptic to believer as well.
Are there times of the year or locations in which it's easier to communicate with spirits?
That may be so, and I know that there's a lot of talk about areas that are vortexes that have higher energy, and that there are certain times when the planets align that the energy may be stronger or not. I know that my work certainly is not always as, the results are not always as strong as I'd like. Sometimes my accuracy is 98%, sometimes it dips down to 50%, but luckily enough wows within the readings that we know we've tapped into something. But as far as my own personal experience with varying energy and relating it to times of your location, I haven't personally had that experience.
Well, I was wondering, you talked about how you facilitate communication between loved ones and those who have passed on. Do you help the spirits themselves move on?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I tap into so many people's mothers and fathers, and when I bring to a mother, the initial reaction is that somebody would be happy to hear from their mother, and a medium could very easily say, well, your mother's here and she loved you very much. But I have learned from experience that a lot of people had issues with their parents, so I will never give a message until the spirit person gives that to me first. And it's amazing how many of those on the other side come through with an urgent need to express an apology. And they're very specific what they're apologizing about. I had one woman on the other side apologize for giving her daughter away at a young age.
Do you have a website where people can learn more?
Oh, I sure do. It's they can go to theotherreality.com. And I have plenty of essays, a lot of evidence, and links to my daily blog from that website. A lot of people enjoy spending time there learning more about the afterlife, about their own spiritual path, and I hope they'll visit it.
And we're about out of time. Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Just one thing that I like to share with everybody, Art, and that is, if you have lost someone, don't despair. You're going to see them again, and by all means, talk to them. When you talk to your loved ones, it's as if a doorbell goes off in the spirit world, and they're right at your side. I give a wonderful example of that in my book, Messages of Hope, about how our loved ones do hear us. So go ahead and talk to them. Don't feel silly about it. They absolutely hear you. And if you meditate frequently enough, hopefully you'll be able to hear them in response.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for this interview and giving me a chance to share these messages with folks.
And now it's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose. Kimberly Rose currently has her sessions involving the Crystalline Consciousness Technique on sale at half price. She's also going to be teaching a class for mediumship in January. To find out more, go to KimmyRose.com. That's KimmyRose.com. Well, hello.
Hello.
And what's today's thought for the day?
It's reading 27725. What are friends? That in which there may be the testing of our own abilities. as to the application of truth related to the divine and to mental reaction in relationship to one another. I think that's just about we're mirrors. Friends, they mirror something about ourselves. And they teach us and we teach them back.
Oh, yes.
And boy, do we ever get tested by, you know, friends. I mean, and I think we test ourselves also. But that's what I feel. What about you?
Oh, yes. I think that it talks about the testing of our own abilities and the application of truth. Perhaps friends are those who can hold us accountable and help us improve. Also, the mental reaction in relationship to one another, that could be something in which we're discussing or interacting with someone rather than just lecturing someone. You know, a friend is a different relationship than a professor and student. It's someone who interacts with you and helps you develop. So I think that perhaps is what that means.
I really believe, like when you say that, I really believe that is, that's so true. And friends come in many forms. And sometimes even, you know, I like to joke because my dad will say, even often the Judas in your life is your greatest friend and teacher.
Well, thank you for doing the thought for the day.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Suzanne Giesemann for talking to us. To find out more, go to suzannegiesemann.com. That's SUZANNEGIESEMANN.com. Also, remember that she'll be speaking at the Afterlife Conference in Virginia Beach from March 9th to March 11th. You can find out more at afterlifeconference.com. She'll also be at the ARE on Thursday, March 8th from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. For details, visit edgarcasey.org. Thanks to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce.